Henry Ford once said, "The only real security that a man can have in this world is a reserve of knowledge, experience, and ability." Sounds about right. Hi there. Welcome to another intriguing episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. So yes, we've got security on the brain this week. Good friend of the show, Nigel Forrester from Concurrent Technologies, joins us a little later on to discuss some really big security issues that, yes, we should be worrying about, and what kind of solutions Concurrent has in its wheelhouse to help solve those problems. But first, let's talk about securing our seas with a swarm of autonomous robots. Of course. Okay, so this week's news you may have missed is brought to you by Aquabotics and their Swarm Diver System. So, what are these particular autonomous robots all about? Well, they were designed for harbor management, research and environmental monitoring, plume tracking, and a host of other applications. So, each Swarm Diver autonomous robot, which looks kind of like a yellow plastic pipe, is about 30 inches long and weighs about 3.5 pounds. Thanks to two brushless motors driving its propellers, these bad boys can get through the water at about 5 miles per hour and have a battery life of about 2.5 hours. But what about that sensing? Well, these autonomous swimming robots can also measure temperature and pressure and can dive down to about 50 meters or 164 feet. But one of the coolest aspects of these pipe-shaped robots is the communication aspect. They can be tracked using GPS, and not only can you talk to one of them via radio, they can also talk to each other. And yes, hence the name, you can control a whole swarm diver fleet. Super cool. In a video released by Aquabotics, they show a school of 30 robots working together. Yeah. Aquabotics also claims that their swarming algorithms are easy to use, and you get several different formations to choose from. And get this, there is also a return home function that will bring your little swimming robots back to you in a single file line. Yeah, cute. So one tiny downside. In order to transmit information, these little dudes have to resurface from under the water. Okay, if you're hooked, get it? Like a fish hooked? Yeah, anyway, Aquabotics hasn't quite released a price tag yet, only a description as low cost. Okay. I can see a lot of applications beyond defense, research, or monitoring that these Aquabotics swarm divers could be used for. I mean, hey, Aquabotics, get my cocktail from the other side of the pool, right? Okay, it's cold and rainy in Portland. A girl can dream, right? Now, if you want any further information about Aquabotics Swarm Divers, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EEJournal.com. And seriously, if you get one of these, let me know so I can come over and interview you and play with it. All right, it's time to bring in Nigel and talk about some big security problems and the bright ideas on how to fix them. Let's go. My guest today is Nigel Forrester from Concurrent Technologies. Welcome back, Nigel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Okay, so first, give my audience a quick recap on what Concurrent is all about.
Okay, so Concurrent Technologies are a UK-based public company. We manufacture, design Intel-based processor boards for deeply embedded applications, and particularly things like defense, telecoms, high-speed physics, transportation, industrial-type applications, and obviously support those for very long lifecycle applications.
Okay, so you presented a talk, which I enjoyed thoroughly, at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called Big and Bright Security. So tell my audience, what do you mean by big in this scenario?
So from the perspective of security, my impression is that big is that we have big security issues that we need to worry about. Yes. It doesn't really depend on the application or the product that you're using, but it is a very critical thing that we've actually seen quite a sea change, especially in some of the industries that we serve over the last few years, where they've typically perhaps ignored or been less interested in security, but now that's starting to come to the forefront.
Yeah, security always seems to be an afterthought, or was at least in the past. But so on the other side, Nigel, what do you mean by bright?
So I'm proposing that we have some very bright solutions to those security issues. And we've got three things that we've really done, worked hard on in the last few months or last year to improve our offering. Okay. Firstly, we've now started to fit TPM 2.0s on all of our new products. So TPM is a trusted platform module. So that's designed to give things like encrypted keys or store for those encrypted keys. And it's the base of some of the things that we can do in the security space. So it gives you the ability to do things like a measured boot. But we've not just done that on our new boards. We've actually re-engineered some of our older boards dating back for the last few years. Nice. So that we can now also offer TPM 2.0s on those products, whereas previously we've been offering the TPM 1.2. So that's the first thing that we've done. The second thing we've done is we've got a holistic package called Guardian Security for those customers who want us to provide an additional level of capability that's largely operating system agnostic. Okay. And that Guardian Security package includes both hardware, firmware, and middleware elements and software elements that do three things. They protect against unauthorized use. And then they also protect against either unauthorized access to data by both authorized and unauthorized users. Right. And thirdly, they provide a way of sanitizing the product. So if you're using it in a secure environment and you've got a top secret application loaded on the product, you can then move that back into an unsecure environment by either bringing it back to factory defaults or completely overwriting or clearing or sanitizing the memory store. So the third thing we've done is that for some of our customers, they don't want the complete Guardian Security package, but they want certain elements of it. Okay. So we've started to make those available as separate utilities. In the last few months, we've delivered some sanitization utilities to specific customers, and obviously we're able to tailor those to some extent to their needs. So overall, we've tried to beef up our packages, things that we've been supplying for now 6 years, so it's not new to us. Yeah. But over that time, we've managed to develop lots of experience and had lots of interesting encounters with customers. And as a result of that, our other customers are now benefiting.
Excellent. Now, Nigel, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. And I never do this, but I'm going to let you tell me what you want to talk about.
Well, what I thought this time, Amelia, is that last time we talked a bit about my background, where I came from a historical perspective.
Yes.
But Concurrent Technologies is based in Colchester in the UK. And for those of you who don't know, Colchester is a town that's about 50 miles northeast of London. Okay. But what you probably don't know is that Colchester is the oldest recorded town in the UK. And that's because in AD 43, when the Roman conquest occurred, the first place that they set up their big establishment was Colchester. So at that point, Colchester was the capital of Britain.
Wow.
And that remained the case until Boudicca, or Boadicea, as he's sometimes called, ransacked Colchester in, I think it's around about AD 61. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the Romans moved their capital to London. And so that's why Colchester was the capital of Britain. Mm-hmm. Slightly similar, we are based on an industrial estate on the north side of Colchester. And our address is in Gilbird Court. So Gilbird, William Gilbird, was born in Colchester in about 1550s. He was a very eminent scientist, doctor. He was actually physician to Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh.
But he was especially interested in scientific research. So he wrote a book called De Magnete. And that really was all about discovering, or his philosophies on magnetism and electricity. So he's actually known as the father of electricity.
Wow.
So it's, we think of ourselves in the embedded space. We've been around for 33, 35 years. but actually we've got quite a long way to go, and we've got a lot of good things to live up to. So
that is super cool, and that's why I let you do your own off-the-cuff questions. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. As always, thank you so much for joining me, Nigel.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been a pleasure.
Whether you're designing a swarm of autonomous sensing pipe-shaped robots or an embedded computer destined for the battlefield, you know that schematic integrity problems can cause a lot of expensive PCB respins. Errors in schematics can lead to schedule delays, manufacturing reruns, support problems, and higher overall project costs. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled "Integrating Schematic Integrity Analysis into Any Design Flow," I sit down with Craig Armenti from Mentor and chat about how Expedition Schematic Integrity Analysis can help catch and correct errors in your PCB schematics right when they happen. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or you can head right on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out our Fish Fryin' archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 13th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.